Welcome back to Insights for Health, brought to you by The Healthy Habit at 451 St. Clair Street in Chatham. My name's Dave, and if you're just joining us, our guest today is Dr. Brock McGregor, naturopathic doctor here in Chatham. And we've been talking about liver health, and before the break, we talked about the liver and its function in detoxing the body. It's a 24/7 job, and it's always disposing of its waste. And I guess my question to you, doctor, now is, like, where does that waste go?
Yeah, so generally the waste is put into bile, which is then excreted. It's moved and has sort of a temporary home in the gallbladder before it's moved out into the digestive tract and then ultimately eliminated through that digestive tract.
So the gallbladder is like a depot?
Yeah,
so
it's like a temporary stopover. Yeah,
so it's associated with the liver, and they have to both be functioning together.
Yeah. So you'll see, your liver's working sort of 24/7. It's excreting these nutrients into the gallbladder. These waste products. The gallbladder is essentially storing that until you're exposing it to food, and then you're adding bile to that food mix, which is both going to help digest the food, generally fats in the food, and it's also going to act as a sort of waste disposal mechanism.
So bile is a digestive aid then?
Yeah, so it is. It contains enzymes that help to break down, generally when we think about bile, to break down fats. So that's why we will see when individuals have gallbladder issues or having gallbladder attacks, they'll be provoked by really rich meals, so things with high fat content, because the gallbladder is trying to push out bile and it's unable to, and then you get this spastic type of pain or discomfort.
So is bile then a result of all the waste, or is it just associated with waste, and is it something separate from the waste?
So it's in there, like the there's one sort of compartment that you're storing it in. It's a mixture of those enzymes we need for food breakdown, as well as the toxic byproducts that the liver's trying to get rid of through your digestion.
So yeah, because you often hear about gallstones. What are those?
So gallstones are a hardening of some chemicals within the gallbladder that leads to small sort of pebble-like stones, so to speak. You can see them on an ultrasound. Yeah. Generally in there. They can be made of certainly different things, but commonly if they're a cholesterol-type gallstone, they're associated with altered digestive function. They certainly can be asymptomatic. So there's people walking around right now that will have them in the gallbladder, and they're not causing any problem for them.
Sure.
For other individuals, if they get into a inopportune spot, so right by the bile duct, then that can cause some blockage issues, and that can cause those gallbladder attack type pains.
So, like the removal of the gallbladder. Mm-hmm. I mean, as surgical procedures now, it seems very non-invasive. This is small holes that they go in.
They do it quickly, and it's a pretty standard procedure now. So for some people, that does take care of a lot of the issues they were having digestively if those gallstones were causing some issues. Unfortunately, in a lot of individuals, even after the gallbladder removal, they still have poor digestion, and that can be associated with not enough bile. So now your liver is basically dumping directly into your digestive tract. But if you're not able to make that component quickly enough, it can lead to malabsorption of fats and issues digesting some foods.
Yeah, and that was a question. Like, if the gallbladder is not there, then mm-hmm. where is the bile going? But it's so what's
happening? Yeah, the liver's going to be providing that directly into the digestive tract. So you've basically lost your little sort of temporary storage shed.
Yeah, okay. So mm-hmm. It's that temporary stopover in the gallbladder that regulates the amount of bile that's then mm-hmm. going into the intestines,
yeah.
right? Whereas if it's not there and it's being dumped in on a regular steady stream mm-hmm. or a steady process of elimination from the liver.
Yeah, and in some people you'll see that digestive difference.
So that's how it's affecting the digestion.
Yeah, and for some individuals, they'll have the gallbladder out. They have no problem. They can go back to eating fairly normally. They won't have an issue. But in a subset of individuals, they do tend to still struggle digestively after that that removal.
So can gallstones be removed surgically and still leave the gallbladder, or is it can't have one.
They just take
the
gallbladder. Yeah,
they take the whole thing.
Yep. There are, you know, some ways that we think you might be able to break down gallstones.
How can we do that?
There's a herb called Greater Chelandine that's been used in the past for it. There's one case study I can think of pretty recently where that was an effective treatment for an individual. Won't be effective for all individuals, but right. It's something that certainly can be tried. You don't want to be cautious with treating gallstones. There are herbs that are referred to as galactagogues, so yep. They increase your bile excretion, and we use them when someone's having fat malabsorption problems or some other liver gallbladder type issues. But if there is some obstruction of that bile duct or some issues there, and you give someone a galactagogue, they're going to try and excrete more bile, and they can't, and they're going to, you know, be in a pretty rough state.
The duct is already closed.
You don't want to start pushing on the locked door there.
Some people use ox bile supplements.
Yeah, so that's basically using sort of a straight replacement, so to speak.
Okay.
There certainly some people will see some beneficial effect, especially when they're having a fattier meal, when they're using that type of supplement. There are some concerns over using them on too regular of a basis, because it might decrease your endogenous production, so how much you're producing on your own.
Okay.
But certainly on, you know, sort of an occasional basis, they do provide some symptomatic relief for individuals with liver gallbladder issues.
So the body can, so if someone were taking an ox bile and they still had their gallbladder, mm-hmm. producing their own bile or excreting the bile.
Yeah.
Sounds like there's ways of knowing how much bile's in the system and then cutting it off or slowing it down?
So, yeah, we're not sure the exact mechanism, but certainly what you'll see with a lot of different enzymatic supplementation is that it might decrease how much your body's producing. And some of the ways we know, we see that, for instance, if we look at the pancreas, occasionally when we're seeing pancreatic inflammation or some pain there, if you give someone pancreatic enzymes, the pain might stop. And that's an indication that the pancreas isn't trying to push any enzymes out. So the theory is that if you continue to do that over a long period of time, you might actually decrease the that normal functioning. So you're sort of taking away the endogenous function. And we see similar types of processes, especially when we look at things like hormonal supplementation. When you supplement with a hormone for a long period of time, when you remove that, it takes the body quite a while to get back to a normal production. So we think that that's one of the processes that may be happening with overuse of enzymatic supplements. They certainly have their place in managing symptoms, but we want to be cautious how we're using them and still stick to some of those lifestyle modifications and other therapies as well.
Yeah, so you indicated that in some situations, if you have gallstones, you can change that mm-hmm. naturally. It's not going to work for everybody.
Yeah.
So how do we, and again, I know what your answer is going to be probably before asking you here, but how do we prevent the problem from ever getting there to begin with?
Yeah, so there's some good strategies like increased fiber intake that is gonna help to, you know, excrete more bile, clean out that gallbladder, and make sure there's nothing sort of sitting around, so to speak, to make a gallstone.
Yeah,
we know there's some other supplementation that's helpful as well. So things like vitamin C and omega-3 fatty acids, vitamin E might play a role in that as well. And then making sure that we have enough substrates to properly produce bile and move it out of the liver and gallbladder. So making sure that, you know, that's a varied diet, and we're getting our requirements of things like B vitamins and magnesium and that type of thing.
So good fruits and vegetables.
Exactly. Yeah, you can't seem to get away from them.
Yeah. And the high fiber, and we always talk about Canadians not having enough fiber. Stats Canada did this study and found that most Canadians get about 14 grams a day when we should be 35.
Yeah.
So now I see, like, if the liver is excreting and dumping waste into the intestines, and we don't have enough fiber to push out all mm-hmm. the waste, we're going to have problems.
Yeah, you get resorption of some of those constituents in the bile. You get sluggish digestion. So that's one of the big things that we work on from a lifestyle perspective. There's, you know, lots of dietary supplements you can use to try and increase your fiber, but you can do it through your diet as well. 35 grams of fiber per day in a diet is unusual to see unless someone has a really good diet. So you will see that it is a struggle for a lot of people to hit that goal.
Yeah, most of us think we are getting enough, and yet we're not.
And we sometimes have a misconception about where we should get fiber from. So we think of, you know, those bran muffins and things like that, but we actually want to often avoid the carbohydrate intake that's associated with that increased fiber intake. So really we can get fiber from, you know, nuts and seeds. We can get it from vegetables. And that's really usually a better area to get it from. So when we're trying to increase fiber, that's really where we're focusing on. Yeah.
What foods should we avoid for both a healthy liver and a healthy gallbladder?
Yeah, so it sort of depends on what sort of state of health someone's in. So if you currently don't have any issues, then we're looking at this a diet that's low in carbohydrates, focuses on vegetables, moderate intake of animal proteins, making sure we're getting adequate protein from different sources. So that's sort of that overall Mediterranean diet that's going to be healthy. When we're looking at actual pathology, so when people are currently having an issue, if they're having a gallbladder issue, we might need to modify that diet and reduce fat a little bit so that they're feeling a little bit better, increase fiber in other ways. When we're looking at liver function in general, if there's some pathology there, we're increasing, you know, brassica vegetables, so things like broccoli and plants related to mustard. We're trying to increase those as well as get that good balanced Mediterranean-type diet.
So fried foods should be avoided.
Yeah, so those simple carbohydrates, carbohydrates, trans fats, those types of things should be avoided in general. And if someone's having a gallbladder issue, yeah, those high fat, fatty, rich foods definitely need to be avoided.
Milk thistle is one of those things that's also associated with liver health. Can you talk about that a bit?
So there's a couple plants. Milk thistle's one, globe artichoke, dandelion. So those all seem to have a hepatoprotective effect, so they protect liver cells. Some of them are also slight diuretics, so they'll actually help with kidney function as well.
Yeah, when it comes to dandelion, I think the root is more the liver and the leaves are more the kidney.
Yeah, so when you see the teas, if they're made from root, they kind of have a different function. Made from the leaves, it's a different function. You can make it out of both and certainly get both of those things in there. It's you know, works a little differently when you use it as a tea because you get all the water-soluble nutrients out. When you take it as a tincture, so as an alcohol extract, that will pull out different nutrients and has a different profile of action than just using it in a tea.
So the bottom line is liver and the gallbladder and, well, all the organs of the body have to be healthy for us to experience optimal health. So, Doctor, any sort of a summary here that you can encourage us all to do a little better?
Yeah, so it all goes back to that that healthy lifestyle. And, you know, it's difficult, if not impossible, to be perfect when we're looking at diet and lifestyle, but those achievable changes that we can make in focusing on plant-based diets, getting adequate fiber, making sure we're getting healthy fats, has a big payout in the long run. So it reduces risk of chronic disease, generally makes people feel better, and is one of those things that you can do for yourself that's going to have a sort of a big bang for your buck. So if you can focus on prevention rather than treatment, you're certainly going to get a lot farther down the road and you're going to enjoy optimal health.
Well, it's like the old saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I guess that should be a metric now, shouldn't it? Yeah. So, Doctor, if someone has a malady that they want to discuss with you, how would they get a hold of you?
Yep. So I'm located at 217 Queen Street inside of Little Chiropractic. Our number there is 519-358-7373. You can also find me on the web. It's www.mcgregornd.com. There's a Facebook page there as well that has some contact information on it. Certainly, if there's, you know, some questions about what naturopathic medicine is, or if it's something that could you know, help you with a health condition, we do offer some free 15-minute phone consults or in-person consults, so patients can get a better feel for what naturopathic doctors do and what the medicine can do for them.
So, Doctor, thanks for joining us on Insights for Health.
Thank you very much for having me.
I've been talking with Dr. Brock McGregor, naturopathic doctor, and you've been listening to Insights for Health, brought to you by The Healthy Habit at 451 St. Clair Street in Chatham, now celebrating 25 years since 1992. And to say thank you to you, our customers, we're giving away weekly gift baskets valued at $25 to $100. That's one draw a week for 25 weeks. So visit our website, thehealthyhabitchatham.com. Click on 25-year giveaway. Enter once for all the remaining draws and a chance to take home a gift basket. And that's at The Healthy Habit, where we help you to help yourself with your health, one step at a time.